It was a cold Sunday evening as I opened my front door to let our small miniature dachshund Golly out. And the door hit something, and that something meowed in response. I looked down, and a juvenile cat looked up at me with the most pitiful eyes. It wanted inside. It wanted food. It wanted warmth. And inside my body, my heart did what it always does. When it encounters an animal or person in distress, I began to methodically think of a plan forward. I looked in at Allison. The cat was weaving its way through my legs, and I almost tripped over the dang thing as it walked off the porch. There was no way this animal could move in with us, no matter how many times my sweet daughter pleaded with me for us to finally have a cat. Because my family, and definitely myself, are very allergic to cats. But still, it meowed, it purred, it continued to rub against my legs, and so began an ordinary week filled with extraordinary implications. I quickly found a basket, Allison fetched some towels, and we created a space on our porch. But this animal was not the usual barn cat that often crosses our property. No, this animal knew affection, and it was adamant that we adopt it in some way. So I put the cat in the basket, and I walked to the door, and there it was. I picked it up, put the cat back in the basket, I walked quickly to the door, and there it was. I picked up the cat, opened the door, walked inside, dropped it outside the door, and quickly closed the door. And these haunting meows came from outside. Stage one of my heartbreak began. So began the feline apocalypse of last year's advent. Now, a word about this word, apocalypse. It has become kind of a scary word in modern times because pop eschatology has made it that way. It's made it synonymous with destruction and danger and tribulation. Are you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? Are you a-mill, pre-mill, post-mill? And my goodness gracious, you need to have like this running vocab bank to be able to make sense of what we've done to the Book of Revelation. But in the first century world, apocalypsis, okay, the Greek word from which we get our word revelation, was not really a scary word at all. It would have instead simply communicated an uncovering of something that was once hidden. And so actually, the Book of Revelation is actually called the Apocalypse of Jesus Christ. It's the Apocalypse of Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ. It's all centered on Christ unveiling, revealing himself to John the Revelator. And John the Revelator and his writing is unveiling that which was once hidden. And so his imagery is all over the map. It's wild, it's crazy. And when I teach this with students, I often challenge them, what would it be like to describe the color blue to somebody who has been blind since birth? You can't compare it to any other color. They don't know what it is. You can't say the color of the ocean, they've never seen the ocean. And so you begin to grapple with, how in the world do I convey something that transcends meaning for you, transcends language? And so really what we have in the Revelation of John, or the Apocalypse of Jesus Christ at the end of our Bible, is this crazy attempt to describe the ineffable, that which is beyond our description, beyond words. But for John, the veil has been pulled back, and heaven is breaking through, and the apocalypse is Jesus. The one who was hidden after the ascension of Acts chapter 1 is now breaking through to John and the world. And the command is clear. Write what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later, from Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. So days passed with my feline friend. And one day I noticed the poor cat was shivering in her basket. So I went on Amazon and I bought a cat box so she could be shielded from the elements. And my family even had to find new ways of exiting and entering our homes so as to avoid the cat seeing us. And we networked like crazy to find this poor cat a home. And finally, a friend of a friend, isn't it always that way? A friend of a friend said they would take the cat, but we'd have to wait until the following Sunday to drop her off. And while we weren't able to make our house the cat's home, we had done our part in helping this poor animal. And then the unthinkable happened. One night, Allison looked out of our bathroom window and signaled for me to come and look with her. And we looked out, and the little cat was meowing in the flower bed. It was below freezing outside, and the cat box was mere feet from the animal. "I'll go put the cat back in the box," I responded. And so I put on my jacket and I walked outside. And as usual, the cat came to me. But this time, however, it didn't run. It dragged its back legs as it made its way across the sidewalk, because this poor animal had become paralyzed, and its back legs were soaking wet, and they were cold. My first thought was that it had fallen into some water and was suffering from hypothermia and could not make it to its cat box, and therefore it was stranded out in the cold. And so we took it into our garage, we took off the top of the cat box, and placed the cat inside the bottom half with a space heater next to it. And there the little cat stayed for the next few days. But unfortunately, its lifeless legs never regained strength. My inner world was in turmoil, because I felt that in some way I was rejecting the cat. I was denying it the longings that it desired, natural longings, mind you. It wanted a home, it wanted to be warm, it wanted to be loved. And I denied all those things, it seemed, and now this poor animal couldn't walk and was stranded in my garage. And I feared that it saw our kitchen lights and wondered why it was not allowed to experience the joy and love of our home. I even found myself being aggravated with the dog because somehow I didn't feel the dog appreciate the love that she had in our home. Now, I need you to know that I conceptually knew this was not the case, but my heart was confused. And so each day I journaled my reflections on the past 24 hours, and each day my soul wrestled with the meaning of this feline visitor. The cat signified so much, and simultaneously was simply a cat, now paralyzed, not able to live fully the life intended for it. And the dreaded day came. We had to decide what we would do with the paralyzed cat in our garage, and Allison and I agreed that it was time to put the animal down. I couldn't do any of the scheduling. Honestly, I could hardly talk. Words failed me. In my journal, language of anger and disappointment and just intense sadness fills the pages. Why had this cat come to our front porch to meet the fate it was encountering? And as I put pen to paper, I realized that this cat had come to symbolize all the pain, all the brokenness and rejection that have marked my life. The pain that I had told myself was normal. The hurt I had told myself to get over. The opportunities or potentials for opportunity that had brought me to the threshold of warmth, light, and acceptance that were then followed by rejection that had hobbled my wishes and left me in the cold. And so on a chilly, overcast Friday morning, the cat was put down. And before it all happened, I sat with that cat. I apologized to it. I kept staring at it. I felt a lot, but my feelings were more confusing than coherent. And after I said my last words, I walked away, and I would never see the animal again. Our paths had to depart. I drove my son to school, and then I met for coffee with a friend. And as I recalled the events of the past week, my lip began to quiver. That night, Allison and I had a huge fight about the past 24 hours. We were both reeling from the pain we had felt, and unanswered questions gave way to anger and frustration, and in our lack of reflection, we had thought the answers were to come from the other when they didn't, and so we both felt this intense disappointment because we had all these displaced feelings. And really, let's be honest, misplaced feelings. And in our lack of reflection, for the first time in over 20 years, as I actually began to reflect, I cried. I cried for a cat who wasn't loved. I cried for its pain, and I cried for the future that was denied it. I cried that its last days seemed purposeless. I cried that nobody wanted it and that we could not give it what it wanted. I cried because all life is sacred and somehow this life had been made profane. A few nights passed, and as I journaled, I realized another reason I was crying. I was crying for the lie that I had carried that God could and would reject me. The lie is silly, but it was one that I carried. I spoke the truth to myself. God would never reject me. He is radically for his creation. And then it dawned on me. I saw a cat that seemed to have no purpose. The why of the moment had blinded me to the who of the eternal. God used this precious animal to reveal to me that if I was so deeply moved to help out an animal in need, then how much more does my Heavenly Father desire to be present to me? I was crying because a paralyzed cat had become an apocalyptic kitty. Those days were painful. But the pain came through the hidden, made revealed love of God. When death of a cat, death of my ego, whatever occurs, we experience moments that C.S. Lewis coined as a severe mercy. God's mercy ushers in an end, knowing that such an end is painful to us, but is for our ultimate good. The severe mercy of my feline friend was that a good God was revealing himself through an ordinary encounter. This cat had a purpose, and our lives met an apocalyptic intersection. This is Advent. Advent is apocalyptic, as an invisible God is made known to us in the revealed person of Jesus Christ. A baby is born to us to live a life of sacrifice as a severe mercy. That severe mercy is not the world's rejection or negation, but it's embraced by a loving God who is radically for his creation. His affections are for this creation, even as he refines, purges, and crucifies the parts of it that inhibit it from experiencing life everlasting. So this Advent season, as I look back on last year and think back on all that we've been through in 2020, all the things that we would say were apocalyptic in the pop eschatology sense, disastrous, destructive, deadly. For Advent 2020, I remember fondly a little kitten who came into my porch and reminded me that God loves me. I'm reminded that, like other apocalyptic writers, words fail. Detailing spiritual breakthroughs is like describing that color blue to that person who's been blind from birth. But we try to put pen to paper, or we try to speak for a weekly recording, to share when moments happen, and the commonplace of life becomes the place of our salvation. And so this Advent, I think back over the span of human history since that apocalyptic night when angels declared that a Savior had been born. I think of a small child, a vulnerable child, a dependent child, born to die, so that somehow you and I could have Advent moments, and as we die to ourselves, we become born again in him. Happy Advent, friends.